generation, more and more solar is showing up on the rooftops in the distribution networks. And we have more and more batteries coming up. So developments that we see not only on the large scale side, but also in the distributed generation side. We have e-mobility, more and more field tests are coming on. One of them is in Berlin, where we have customers supplied with electric vehicles that they can use and charge at home. It's a new trend, probably has developed more or less in the last 2 years, but there are ambitious goals to get about up to 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2020. So that's a new thing that needs to be taken into account when we plan for power systems in the future. So these are a lot of new trends that are coming on. But these trends cause also some challenges to the power system development. I mentioned the intermittency of the generation. No longer are the renewable power plants so well controllable as have the traditional power plants. We have distributed generation that appears in the distribution network. All these are new things where we need to think about integrating them into a smart grid. So what is a smart grid from our definition? I would like to point up two possible solutions. One of them is virtual power plant, and the other one is demand side management. Well, what is by our terms the definition of the smart grid? Here is a source from the European Technology Platform for Electricity Network of the Future. It says the following: smart grid is an electric network that can intelligently integrate the actions of all users connected to it. Okay? And those actors are the generators, the consumers, and those do both. Right? For example, a smart home that may have integrated photovoltaics may not only be a consumer, but also someone who submits power to the grid. And we would like to do it sustainably, economically, and in a secure way. Two such solutions I want to talk about briefly: virtual power plant and demand side management. And then I would like to talk about what would happen if you would apply that in Berlin. Most of the goals that we want to reach basically come back to the following paradigm. So far, it's always that supply follows demand. That means if this consumer does something, the power plants react. In the future, we need to make the demand more and more active because the generation becomes more and more weather dependent. I'd like to start with the concept of the virtual power plant. Well, you know, the original power system has built for large-scale power plants. Large-scale power plants means that many megawatts, sometimes several gigawatts. And the many small plants are, of course, much smaller, sometimes in the ranges of kilowatts. So the idea of the virtual power plant is to take information technology, connect them together, and make them many small plants appear as one large plant. And if they work in sum like a large plant, then we can make them look like a normal power plant from the power system grid viewpoint. And that's why it's called a virtual power plant. Let me show you how that may look like. We have many small items. For example, here we have a home, a smart home, a home energy management system with the rooftop DG, so for example a photovoltaic panel, an electric vehicle, and loads of the house. This is a small unit, okay? Several kilowatts. It's too small to directly work with the electricity market. Also, for example, here, a small battery storage. It's too small to directly participate in the electricity market, because to be in the electricity market, you have to have a size of, say, 5 megawatts, okay? But here, this is only a few kilowatts. But if you take a computer and you take the computer to aggregate the different outputs and then to assemble them in into a virtual power plant, then the whole small units appear as one large unit. And that's the idea here. And then that virtual power plant, that is an aggregation of these small plants, can directly participate and interact with the market as a large power plant. That's the virtual power plant. The other thing we want to do is demand-side management. Okay? This is the following. It basically means decreasing peaks and helping with delaying grid expansion. This here is our home again. Okay? And this home now gets pricing information from the electricity market. And based on the information it gets, changing prices, it can react and adapt its consumption. Of course, people don't want to be at home and at the whole time look at that pricing. So you need to somehow do a home automation that can deal with it. So here is how that could, for example, look like. I have the generation, and that's renewable, and includes, for example, also thermal generation using solar mirrors. We have the demand side, and now we need them connecting together to the smart meter that supplies information to the demand side over a control center that basically makes sure that the grid is still stable and everything is going its right order. So let me explain you what it means. We have the generation here, we have some storage here, and here we have our loads at home. Now let the sunshine and the wind blow, and that means we can basically put on our consumers. So that's why it's in green here. If we are finished with doing our business at home, our work, yes, then it will be switched off and we can fill our storage. And this is then available later when the weather isn't as good anymore. So we can then basically empty that, and that is basically making the demand side more active. For example here, this is the demand of Germany, okay, about 50 gigawatt, okay? It's wrongly saying megawatt here, but it's gigawatt. And here we have what it would be if we have 4 million electric vehicle. Okay, that's in gray here. That would be the additional amount of demand for electric vehicle if we had 10% vehicles electric. Then we have charging a lot here where we already have a peak. And we have that peak because people come at home in the early evening, okay, at 6 p.m. And then we have an increase of our load. Much better would it be to take this and put it at night, okay, this gray area. And that means basically demand-side management and a reduction of our load. So, now comes something very interesting. What would do if we take these concepts and apply it to a whole city? Okay? And we make a prediction what may happen in the year 2037. You may wonder why do we take the year 2037? Because that's the year when Berlin becomes 800 years old. Okay, so that's the birthday of the city. So we have done that in collaboration with industry. This is our university, Berlin. This is our utility, Vattenfall, and that, of course, you are aware of. It's one of the manufacturers. Here are some photos of Berlin, and we took the smart grid and modeled it basically for the whole city. Why do we do that? Because we want to help renewable energy becoming online. Okay, and because renewable energy is intermittent, we need to apply demand-side management. We want to minimize the CO2 emissions, and therefore we have created a scenario for the year 2037, and we have applied this type of demand-side management in a model for both the loads at home, so it's basically for studying the consumers at home, demand for the charging of the electric vehicles that would be on the road by then. So here is the basic method of our model. We took the power plants on one side and the consumers on the other side. Okay, and the consumers consist of loads, direct loads, where we assume they cannot be changed. Okay, when somebody wants to watch TV, he wants to watch TV, he doesn't delay it. Okay, or if someone wants to dry his hair, he dries his hair and, you know, can't delay that. But then other things may be flexible, like the charging of the home, or for example, the refrigeration, okay, in the fridge. The temperature can have some temperature range in which we are flexible. So we took the generation and we took the loads, and we then balanced them. And I see here, unfortunately, not everything of this slide comes up, so now it comes up. It's here, we took the forecast and for the load, and we took the forecast for the generation, and then they need to be balanced out. Okay? Because at the same time, at any time, load and generation needs to match to keep the grid stable. Based on the generation offers and the load demand, we can calculate the energy price for the whole day, okay? Because we have the weather forecast and we have the demand forecast. That gave us prices, and those prices we gave to the consumers. And the consumers then can decide whether they want to get the power or they don't get the power. So then basically the consumers can react, and then we take the actual generation, and that then flows into the grid. Okay? So we have here a feedback from the prices to the loads. And then we can do an optimization and see how much load can be shifted based on the reaction of the consumer and get the results. So here, for example, what we see here, and I see here, unfortunately, it's not so well visible, but maybe it comes up. I think we see it slightly here. We see here, actually, the state of charge of the electric vehicle. It goes down here, and then it goes up a little bit again. It goes down. And why does it go down here a little bit? You see it because we have here a discharging. And here it goes up again because we have here a charging. Here you see the price for the electricity is low, so we can charge. Here the price for the electricity is high, so we don't want to charge. But here we need to drive to work. So the charge is going down, of course, because we are driving. Okay, here we are driving again because we are going home. So we take the car, it's going down. And here we have high electricity price, but then the price is getting low, so we can charge again. So that's why you see it's going up slightly here. Here the price is low again because it's at night, and then we can charge again and fill our electric vehicle, and then at the morning it's full again. So based on the price, we can react flexibly to the network. And make sure that we never go below a certain line because we never want to fully discharge the car because, of course, we want to drive. Okay? So we make sure that never we go below a certain minimum charge because we don't want to charge our car completely because we still want to have it available for driving always. Here we see it a little bit better now. What we see here is the temperature of a fridge. Okay? Here is the maximum temperature. And here we have the other side of the temperature range. So here is the temperature that we are allowed to be in. Okay? So here you see we use a lot of electricity, and then the temperature goes down because we are cooling. Why do we Why do we cool exactly here? Yeah, because you see the price is relatively low. Okay, here the price is high, so we don't cool. Okay, so the temperature will go slightly up, but it will never reach its maximum. Okay, because if it reaches the maximum, we know we need to cool. Okay, so that our goods in the fridge keep fresh. Here at night, again, as you see at the evening, the power becomes cheaper and we can cool down our fridge. And so it means that we have the whole day, we are in a allowed temperature range, and we use our electricity very well to a time when the price is cheap. And when the price is cheap, it means we have good renewable energy available. Okay? So, what does that mean basically, that we can have such a smart grid? So today, 2010 or 2011, so these days, we have in Berlin about 25% renewable energy. Okay, this is not installed in Berlin, the 25%. Okay, because in Berlin is a city, so we don't have big wind parks inside the city. We have some photovoltaic, but most of this is outside Berlin, where we have a lot of wind parks, okay? And today about 25% is supplied by renewable, by wind, by biomass, by solar, okay? If in 2037 we have no smart grid, then we could increase that to 37%. Why does it increase to 30%? Because we build new wind parks and so on. But at some point, even if we build more wind parks, we can't integrate it into the grid, okay? So that's why we now also use basically the smart grid here in blue. That's thanks to the smart grid, we get another 14% because we make our load flexible, okay? And we also want to add new photovoltaics to Berlin because we have a lot of roofs, because it's a big city. So we will get another 90%. 9%, sorry. So if we then add up 37% by building new wind parks, 9% by adding new photovoltaic, and another 14% by doing the smart grid, we have quite a good 60% of renewable by 2037 if we do that. And that is basically a result that we want to achieve because it allows us to, in a normal city with good wind outside, smart grid and photovoltaic, to get a sizable number of renewable energy. So we see here the impact of the smart grid is quite important if we want to make improvements on the generation side. And that also brings me to my conclusion. That is where I said, well, there are new trends, a lot of renewable energy, new storage, but we also need to make them use. Okay, and to do so, we need to have smart grid technologies like demand side management or virtual power plant. They are important elements. And we have built a computer model of Berlin for the year 2030, and it shows us we can go up to 60% renewable in 2037. As a consequence, also, we are able to decrease the CO2 emissions by another 20% just by applying the smart grid. And that's why we think Berlin is a large city, and other large cities can basically do the same. Okay, so we think that that is a good example for other metropolitan area. And by the way, we are now making an English version of the brochure, and it will be able to be downloaded on the web probably in 1 or 2 months, and probably we will find a way to distribute the link to you so that you can read in more detail what we have done here. Thank you very much.